This is the most exciting morning in Mavericks' recent history since the morning after they won the title in 2011, because that draft last night I thought was sensational for Dallas. My favorite Mavs draft of all time was 1981 when they got Aguirre and Blackmon, and I'm almost as excited about last night's haul.
Well, I am too, and you always stop yourself, don't you, after a draft, because you just think, well, you don't know. We think we know, but we don't know, and even the Mavericks front office thinks they know, but we'll find out in time if they really do. But just the fact that it fell like that scenario we've been talking about so much in the last 48 hours before the draft, DeAndre Ayton going first like everyone expected, Marvin Bagley going second to the Kings like everyone expected, and then that pivotal pick at number three held by Atlanta. Would they make a trade? Would the Mavericks be willing to make a trade and give up a future first-round pick? They were, and they were able to swing the deal, and that means that by many draft experts, the Mavericks get the second or maybe the best player in this draft. We'll see. I think most think that Ayton is a can't-miss and seems to be very well-equipped for the NBA. But, boy, we've all read so much about Doncic and heard people just talking about his upside and what it could be like. And it fell just like we talked about going into the draft. And it seems like just my own perception of the draft, it seems like that rarely happens.
The price that the Mavericks had to pay to move up, in my opinion, was minimal. And I couldn't believe that they had to pay so little to swap spots. But the deal is every team looks at every prospect differently. And Atlanta's Luka Doncic was Trae Young. That's the guy they wanted. So they thought, well, let's get something a little extra because I don't think anybody else wants him at three. Mm-hmm. So they worked the deal with Dallas. So Dallas gets the guy they wanted. Atlanta gets the guy they wanted. And all Dallas had to give to swap those picks was a protected future first rounder. If it's 1 through 5 next year, the Mavericks get to keep it. And by the way, I think there's a chance it'll be 1 through 5 next year because anybody expecting Doncic, as much as I love him and love what the Mavs did, anybody expecting him to come in next year and light it up, tap the brakes on that. He's 19 and he's not played at this level before. He's going to be great. I'm pretty sure about that. But I also think there's a decent chance they get 1 through 5 again next year, depending on what happens in free agency. And if not, if they ship that pick to Atlanta next year and it's 6, that'll hurt a little bit. 6 or 7, that'll hurt. But it's not going to hurt that much if Doncic turns out to be what everybody thinks he's going to be. And that's all you had to do. You didn't have to take the Bazemore contract back. You didn't have to work a deal with anybody else. You didn't have to give up any other draft picks. I just thought it was the bare minimum to pay to move up a protected future first. That's a steal for Dallas if Doncic turns out to be that guy.
Yeah. And there are so many interesting stories in this first round, and we had these players projected, wondering where they would go. And one of them you brought up yesterday when we were talking about him, Jalen Brunson. And as you said, probably a late first round pick, but you just love him, does a lot of different things. A winner at Villanova, 2-time national championship winner, won just about every award there was this past year in college basketball. And at the end of that segment, I said, and you know, he could bounce into the second round. Who knows? Maybe he's there when the Mavericks pick at 33. And I'll be doggone if he wasn't there last night for the Mavericks at 33.
When we did our draft segment, Jalen Brunson was my sleeper. I think Jalen Brunson is going to be a great pro. I'm not sure he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I think what the Mavericks got in the second round is a solid, incredibly high basketball IQ, always takes the right shot, always makes the right pass, really, really tough point guard. And yes, they have a point guard in Dennis Smith, but to me, Jalen Brunson is Dennis Smith's perfect backup, and Jalen Brunson can be what J.J. Barea has been for this team. I see him as an immediate Barea replacement. And Brunson just brings the it factor. He's a winner, and he's smart. And I think every team needs a guy like that. He's undersized and he's slow. I get all of that. That was not an athletic draft for the Mavericks last night. Doncic is not athletic by NBA standards. Brunson is not athletic by NBA standards. But they're both incredibly high basketball IQ guys, and that always overcomes a lack of athleticism.
Then you throw in a local player, Shake Milton, from SMU at the end of the second round, and the brother of the Greek Freak with pick number 60. I can't remember, when's the last time we talked about a Maverick draft like this where you just had some anticipation to it?
Well, now they didn't get Shake Milton. That was part of that deal with Philadelphia.
Oh, that was part of the deal with Philadelphia. Okay.
Yeah, so that would have made it the ultimate perfect draft for me because I'm very...
I really like Shake.
I'm very high on Shake. But no, they dealt Shake Milton. That was part of that deal. So they got Raymond Spalding and the Greek Freak's brother, Kostas.
Okay, yeah. That happened about the time I was turning in last night. So, yeah. But I think Shake Milton's going to be a terrific player. That's too bad that he's not going to be a part of the Mavericks roster. But yes, those.
By
first
the way,
two-
the Mavericks have a history of taking the superstar's sibling, Seth Curry.
Yeah.
We get Seth, not Steph. We get Kostas, not Giannis.
Yeah, that's a bit of a bummer. A couple of other notes quickly about the first round. We'll talk about Brunson and Doncic in great detail and hear some of what Donnie and Carlisle had to say last night. That swap with the Mavericks and Atlanta 5-3 and Trae Young going taken by the Mavericks but going to Atlanta. So he goes fifth overall. Oklahoma becomes the first school to produce a top 10 NFL, Major League Baseball, and NBA draft in the same year since 2006. It was another Big 12 team that did it that year. Texas with Vince Young, Michael Huff, and LaMarcus Aldridge. Pretty incredible. And the Major League Baseball pick was Drew Stubbs. Mo Bamba, who we talked about a lot from Texas. This shocked me. He is the 11th first-round pick from Texas since 2006.
It's a lot.
That is a lot with not a lot of NCAA tournament success in there. Nothing on John Calipari. Dating back to his time at Memphis, he now has a top 10 NBA pick in each of the last 11 years.
I didn't like that. I didn't like Calipari being there and Williams being there. And who else did I see there?
Jay Wright was there.
Wright was there. Somebody else was there. Another big name was there. I don't like that. Coaches there for recruiting photo ops. Are they there because they love that player? Izzo was there.
Yeah.
Are they there because they love that player, or are they there for the recruiting photo so that all these other recruits around the country say, wow, look, he puts guys into the NBA. He puts guys into the top 10. Oh, I want to go there. That's why Izzo was there. That's why Calipari was there.
Yeah, I guess the player may call him and say, hey, coach, I want you there.
Mm.
But they're gladly ready to accept.
They're
too.
There for the recruiting photo op.
Yeah. Well, and Calipari can say that, hey, your gateway to the NBA is here.
Mm-hmm.
I get top 10 picks.
I don't blame them for being there. I'm just saying on to them. I know why they're there. They're not there to hug the kid because they're that happy for their one and done leaving
all
the school.
Time they spent there.
That is 100% for recruiting.